For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Today on the Back Row Fantasy Show, we talk about the return of sports and top 10 quarterbacks. Coming up on the Back Row Fantasy Show, starting now.
Welcome to the Back Row Fantasy Show with your hosts, Jeremy Barker, Aaron Arms, and Brian Hucks.
Hello, welcome to another edition.
Good morning.
That intro made it sound like I'm Brian Hucks.
Hello.
Yeah, you're a very, very disappointing version of Brian Hucks.
Yeah.
You don't even have a beard.
You're a beardless,
you can't even grow a beard.
A beardless.
That's actually true. I can't.
Beardless version.
You don't have to explain that.
You yell a lot, obvious. Arms.
I know.
You yell so much.
I also drink a lot.
Are you back on the
the sauce?
The sauce?
Yeah.
The roids?
No, the sauce.
Okay. Anyways, as I was saying before I was rudely interrupted, thank you again for joining.
Don't ever let a man who drinks Michelob Ultra yell at you. Talk to him woman to woman.
Thank you again for joining the Back Row Fantasy Show. This evening we have a fine spectacle of a podcast for you where we talk about quarterbacks and we also talk about the return of the MLB, the Major League Baseball, and we also talk about the National Basketball Association return.
Oh my God, just... Can you get it more exciting and not as boring?
Sure. We're going to talk about the National Basketball Association.
We're talking about sports coming back and how it's going to look. Is that better?
Sure.
Okay.
Anyways, welcome back. It's going to be a short one. We've got lots of things to do tonight, lots of stuff on the docket. And guess what? We still have no fucking sports.
Coming, though.
Oh.
It's coming. Oh. Baseball opening day is projected to be July 23rd or 24th.
Yeah.
With the 60-game season.
Well, you know, typically I hate baseball, but for once in my entire 39-year life, I am excited.
I might watch all freaking 60 games of the Reds. They're going to be out of it by game 20. We understand that.
I'm not that excited.
But, I mean, listen, I've been saying for years, baseball is, the game is too long. And the season is too long.
That's correct.
Which I think 160 or 180. I mean, it's ridiculously long season. It's like a third of the season. And the way they're going to do it is they're going to do a 60-game season with 40 games in division. So each division has five teams, so you play each team 10 times.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
and so if you're the, let's say, the NL Central, you'll play the NL Central a total of your 40 games. Then you'll play the AL Central,
okay.
Yeah, they're 20. And that's how they're going to do their seeding.
I like that. I mean, I think they're doing this right. I know that,
I agree.
That it's a mixed bag on opinions, but I feel like they're doing it correctly. I really do.
From my understanding, they're going to do basically the same playoff format, and so it'll be business as usual whenever the playoffs come around.
Right.
Which I don't mind that.
I don't either. I don't mind it at all. And I really am. You know what? I'm full of shit. I'm saying I'm excited and I'll probably watch baseball, but I'm going to be completely honest with you folks. I'm probably not.
I'll watch a little bit.
I probably won't.
Side, I will.
I usually watch the World Series. That's it.
Yeah.
Everybody watches a little bit of it.
Not really. Not me. I'll watch an inning of the game and I'll be like, yeah, this is the reason I don't watch baseball. Live, you know, take me out to the ball game. Hell yeah.
It's
on
so
TV.
It's different when you're live.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a lot of fun when you're at the stadium. Feed me some popcorn and Cracker Jacks.
I agree. I mean, it is a if you're a guy, and I am not a baseball guy. I just want to 100% clarify. I am a sports guy. Mm-hmm. Baseball is something I occasionally catch. But if you have the opportunity to go to a live baseball game, go. I don't care if you hate it on TV or not. Go.
Yeah, it's fun.
You probably will enjoy it.
Yeah, it's a good time.
I mean, $14 beers are spectacular.
Mm.
They don't taste better.
It's not as good as $7 popcorn. $7 popcorn.
Yeah, it really hits every cent. It hits the spot.
It does. Those kernels get stuck in your teeth, and it's like, it's just different. You can tell there's $7 kernels.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Exactly. But it's only like the $4 butter, though. Like,
yeah.
That's the thing that sucks. Like $4 popcorn butter, but like right. $7 popcorn kernels.
I mean, all the stuff came from the Dollar Tree, but when they put it in their popcorn maker,
oh, yeah, it's that much better.
Yeah, it's just
you can
so
taste
better.
The atmosphere in it. You can taste the baseball. Yeah.
It tastes like pine tar and spit.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. And when you eat an ice cream sundae out of a mini helmet, feels like you're playing the game.
Oh,
feels like that's your helmet.
Although I will tell you something that is cool that most professional baseball stadiums do. If you bring your child there for the first time, they'll give them the first game certificate.
Really? Yeah.
They'll give them assigned like a player carded, but it's not like a card. It's like a big picture of the player with some stats and stuff on it. That was kind
of
cool.
One of my favorites is Dime a Dog Night. Super fucking cheap hot dogs all night. Freaking sorry.
I mean, it's like it's like $42 to get in, but you know, it's totally worth 10 cents for the hot dog.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
It depends. If they play the Padres, it's like $4.20 to get in.
If you're playing
Diamondbacks.
Did you just specifically pick 420?
I want to know why the exact dollar amount we went with there.
I was trying to see if anyone else caught that, PJ. Thanks for ruining it.
Yeah, no, maybe if we played the Rockies, Colorado.
Right.
So, yeah. No, but I'm not, all jokes aside, if you wait till your team's out of contention, you can watch baseball live for like $6.
Oh, yeah.
Serious as a heart attack. $6 with taxes and everything. Totally worth it.
Absolutely worth it. Even if you know they're not going anywhere, it's still worth it. Not to mention the other team could be in the playoffs.
And you can get slightly tuned up on your way to the stadium, right?
And what was that?
That was my phone, and I just realized I have the sound on. I'm so sorry.
Thanks for ruining this podcast.
Just cancel it.
I heard it, and I was like, oh, my God.
Listen, that's the equivalent of us being at my daughter's dance recital, the daughter that I don't have, and your phone going off.
Why would I be at your daughter's dance recital?
I don't know. That's a good question. A really good question. I do not. Anyhow.
So, there is another thing that's going to happen soon. The NBA.
PJ's going to my daughter's dance recital.
What the deuce? So the NBA is coming back.
That's what I'm excited about.
I'm pretty excited with that as well. So the format for that, 22 teams returning to start play on July 30th. So we're going to have two sports at the same time. I mean, we went with none to two, which is a big plus.
We got the UFC, and if you want to count WWE as a sport...
A WWE wrestler tested positive for coronavirus. That shit's over.
Yeah, but UFC...
Did that happen?
Yeah.
Who?
I don't know.
Oh.
I didn't actually click into the article because I don't care.
UFC stayed open through the whole coronavirus thing. Though.
Yeah, but they've been doing some wicked...
They canceled one event.
They did.
Yeah.
It was a big one.
Yeah, but I mean, like, they for the most part, that they stayed open, bought a private island, and was able to...
I think the private island is new, isn't it?
Yeah, that's coming up, or maybe that's tomorrow. Is that tomorrow?
I thought the place that they were doing everything was just called Fight Island. Like I thought that it was the island they bought and was just hosting all the events at.
It hasn't happened yet.
Oh, okay, I gotcha.
Yeah,
look at me misinformed on sports like usual.
Well, you know, our last show you were talking about Mario.
Go D-Ford.
So one interesting thing about the NBA Finals, or the NBA, excuse me, the play-in playoffs. Is that the East only has 9 teams, but there's 22 teams playing. So apparently there's teams that are so far out of it in the Eastern Conference that they're just like, nah, bro, you're done. Like, just tough shit. You're not going to play. Once they do, from my understanding, it's like some sort of a round robin. The 8th and 9th seed, if the 8th seed is 4 games ahead of the 9th seed, the 8th seed... They're automatically playing the 1 seed. Okay, so it's a 16 game or 16, 8-8, 16 in the East, 16 in the West.
Okay,
but if the 8th and 9th are within 4 games, the 8th has to win 1 game, and they're in to play the 1 seed. The 9th seed has to win 2 games, and they're in. So I do find that kind of an odd twist. So
I agree.
Between the 8th and 9th, the 8th, one game they're in, the 9th has to win 2 games. So
me not really being a sports guy, is there any way around that? Like, could they do anything differently to better that situation?
be ahead by more than four games.
Okay.
I mean, that's it. I mean, I believe it was, if the eighth, the team with the eighth best record in this conference is more than four games ahead of the team with the ninth best.
No, what I mean is, like, on the NBA side, you said this was NBA, right?
Yes.
Okay, so on the NBA side, like, could they change the rules any differently so that it wasn't that way? Because you said it was kind of a weird twist.
It's a weird twist because I've never seen this before. If I'm the eighth seed and I'm three games ahead of the ninth seed, I'm the eighth best team.
Right.
So they're trying to eliminate the potential, well, this team happened to play the Lakers, you know, one more time, or you know, they played, just for instance, the eighth team played two LeBron rest games, and the ninth team played LeBron full health all three times. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's fair.
So that's how they're trying to eliminate it. So if they're really equal, yeah, I mean, it's a weird thing, but I'm just glad it's back.
Yeah, I agree.
And then, of course, playoffs. They're expecting to go up to October on the playoffs. So NBA draft lottery is set to be August 25th.
I just hope it sustains. I just want it to sustain. I just want it to go on. I don't want to, like, play two or three games and then nothing.
Well, they're supposed to all meet in what, Orlando? I believe it's Orlando. They're all supposed to basically meet and more or less be off, like, secluded from everybody with a lot of, like, guys, this is what we're doing. Now, this will be interesting to me just from the aspect of, you know, you don't have a lot of exposure. Like, you got to think, there are some great athletes that get in trouble. They're great athletes that have subpar games because they were out at the bar too late.
Yeah.
I mean, it does happen. I don't, you know, it doesn't matter the sport. I mean, the Raiders were missing their center in a Super Bowl. Their starting freaking center was not there for the Super Bowl.
Too much to drink the night before?
Yeah, I don't remember. I think
did
it
they
was,
ever come out and say? Or?
No, I want to say he just MIA. He had some mental health issues, but like that kind of stuff happens. You take away the temptations of going out to the bar, you know, you're going to eliminate some potential. Some potential hazards, some potential, I'm sick and I'm not feeling well. People get hungover celebrating a win.
Yeah.
That shit, I mean, it really does happen.
Yeah.
So it's going to be interesting to see if, like, the cream truly does rise and the best teams truly do win, because we're also going to be looking at this from a very limited injury standpoint, too. This isn't, you know, an 82-game season to where somebody's, you know, they're hurting because, you know, they played 82 games. There's a huge rest. There's a lot of guys that are coming back fully healthy. We're going to, in theory, see the best of the best at their best. So,
I'll definitely be tuning in this season then.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. At least once, in my opinion, once the playoffs hit.
Yeah.
Bark?
Wow. Well, actually, I want to talk about quarterbacks. I want to talk about quarterback rankings. I want to talk about this Chris Sims top 40 quarterback countdown on Twitter.
Yeah, this is great.
And I want to talk about our top 10 quarterbacks, because I'm just confused. Why the hell is Cam Newton number 10 and Chris Sims top 40 quarterback countdown?
Yeah.
Do you think he should be higher or lower?
Out. He's not on a team.
He doesn't have a team.
Not only does he not have a team, unless it's the Patriots that bring him in, he's probably not starting. The guy.
There's literally, what, five teams he starts for walking in?
Maybe.
Maybe. Raiders fan, him and Carr will be a competition. Like,
yeah,
he might win, but it'll be a competition. I mean, who else? The Pats? Miami?
No. Miami drafted Tua. They're not.
I understand that.
Well, if he walked in, he'd be okay. You're right. He'd be in the conversation.
I don't think he. I think they're ready to say, all right, Burrow, there you go, bud. They have no desire to put him in Cincy.
No, there's not. There's really no teams.
Jacksonville, maybe.
Maybe, but I mean, they're probably not going to do it.
Like, you don't draft a quarterback this year whenever you're in position to, you know, move up to get a quarterback.
If the Lions were serious about trading Matt Stafford, maybe you have a connection there.
If the Lions trade Matt Stafford to the Patriots, I get it.
Right.
But do we make a connection there? Do we do something?
It makes a lot of sense.
That makes more sense to me than Cam going to the Patriots. We're just talking systematic fit. That's it.
Right.
That's it. Because I think the Lions do want to run the ball more.
I think so, too.
And I think that...
Cam would be a good way to do that.
Yes, absolutely. And
Stafford would be pretty damn good on the Patriots. I don't know if that offense would be high-flying because I don't know if they have the weapons, but, I mean, it would be interesting.
It would be efficient.
Be interesting.
It'd be efficient. I think that, you know, the combination of DeAndre Swift, Kerryon Johnson, Cam Newton.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
Kenny Galladay, I mean, really only one quote-unquote lock-on guy. I mean, you want to talk about someone who that might boost Hawkinson's value. You know, Cam had a tendency to lock on Greg Olsen.
Yeah, Greg Olsen, yeah.
Interesting.
Maybe the Niners run first team if Garoppolo falters. You got a Cam sitting there. You sign him mid-season if they're faltering a little bit.
Maybe.
Maybe.
And I'm not, like, christening Jimmy Garoppolo. And you... Anyone who's listened to the show for long enough, they know my feelings on Cam Newton as a passer. I think that you have to have a better passer because your run team, your run game is that strong. You have to have someone who's just a better passer. I think Jimmy G's fine. I just don't think the offense is conducive to his success fantasy-wise.
I still don't think the Bears are in any better of a position with Foles than they were Mitch Trubisky.
I agree.
I mean, Cam Newton would
I mean, one of these three people we're talking about have a Super Bowl ring, though.
Yeah, but I mean, if you could technically move Nick Foles in that contract, which they acquired him, I know they just got him, why not Cam Newton? They got Nick Foles before Cam Newton was available, I believe.
I don't know.
I think they did.
I don't think so.
Maybe not.
I don't think so. I think you're wrong on that one.
But the Bears, wouldn't the Bears be a lot better? Also a team that would like to run the ball?
They would love to run the ball. Cam Newton? I mean, the history of the Bears, just they want to run the ball.
Yeah.
I mean, name the greatest Bears receiver of all time.
The greatest Bears. God.
That's my point.
Allen Robinson.
I wouldn't go that far.
No. What was Gale Sayers?
Running back. Oh, how did you? Jesus how Peach. Dare you? Can you edit
sorry,
that out?
Sorry. It was one of those moments.
Seriously, the greatest Bears receiver. I mean, Marty Booker's in the conversation.
Probably.
Isn't that sad?
Alshon Jeffrey was solid.
Alshon,
for the Bears
Brandon Marshall.
For a what? Not very long.
Brandon Marshall might seriously be a top five all-time Bears receiver.
We do got a guy by the name of Johnny Morris. I don't know who that is. 1958, Johnny Morris.
Oh, that's great.
Alshon Jeffrey's their number three.
Is that before they had the forward pass in 1958?
Man. Number three. Alshon Jeffrey's number three in receiving yards all time.
Who's number two? Rashad Salaam?
Harlan Hill from 1954. Guys we never would have heard of. Walter Payton's number four, if that tells you anything. Receiving yards all time for the Bears.
Yep.
Wow, what a conversation this is. Curtis Conway. Remember Curtis Conway? I remember Curtis Conway.
I don't.
1993.
Like I feel like Alshon Jeffrey, Brandon
Marty
Marshall,
Booker.
And Marty Booker are like
Matt
three
Forte's
of the top
up there.
We're talking receivers.
I know receivers. But receiving yards all time. It's interesting. Bobby Engram.
It's an interesting list of players.
It really is. Johnny Knox.
Like whenever we're talking, so what? In the top six, we named three running backs, two running backs.
That's crazy.
And one of the running backs we're naming as one of your top all time receivers. Not that he was bad, but Matt Forte. Forte has less than a snowball's chance in hell of making the Hall of Fame.
Is there an NFL team with a less decorated number one receiver
God,
of all time?
They don't have Hall of Fame potential.
That's crazy to
like,
me.
Like Alshon coming in, I think had Hall of Fame potential, but he got hurt too many times and he never lived up to it.
Wow.
That is crazy.
And it only took him what? 12, 13, 14, 15, 16.
He wasn't a Bears entire career.
Five seasons is all it took to become their number three wide receiver of all time yardage-wise.
Incredible.
That's nuts.
But let's also look, I didn't intend for it to go down the street. Like, the Bears kind of have been devoid of a quality quarterback, a true quality quarterback.
Yeah, there's what? Who's Jay McMahon? Or
Jay Cutler.
Jay Cutler and
Jesus criminy.
Jim McMahon?
Jim McMahon, yeah.
They're probably
you said Jay, and I'm like, Jay, well, Shane? No.
Well, not... I mean, I saw a meme the other day. Like, well, not a meme. I saw something the other day that was their best players of all time, and Jay Cutler was there. He was a part of that.
Smoking
Jay Cuddy. Okay, so this is going to be a chopped up recording because things just haven't went well. If you got kids, you know what I'm talking about. But we were talking about top 10 quarterbacks in the league now, but we're going to change gears a little and go to this discussion that happened on the break. You won't know there's a break. You're just going to hear different conversations. But Arms is talking. Arms and PJ have been talking where Pat Mahomes ranks all time in a vacuum right now.
And whenever I say in a vacuum, like it's like the same offense, it's the
Dyson,
same, it's the same
right?
defense,
and a Dyson.
And we're saying no, not scheme, nothing. We're saying I want this skill and accuracy and decision making. That's all we're going off of.
Right.
I mean, we can go with audibles too, right? Because all the guys who are going to be in this conversation.
What's the Peyton Manning audible?
Omaha. He's got a lot of them. But so I said Mahomes, and this is the earliest I've ever put somebody there. But I think he's top 10 all time.
I got him top 15 just because he bring. Honestly, he's a level above what we've ever seen. As far as skill and recognition and his 7 awareness on Madden. He's just a different animal, and if he just stays on that pace, he will be maybe not based on rings. We might not be able to call him the GOAT, but as far as like the most talented quarterback that ever played the game, it would be Patrick Mahomes if he stays on track.
That's exactly what we had said during the break.
And it's very possible. All it's going to take is a handful of rings. If he gets 4 more even and keeps up this level of play, the GOAT.
He's in LeBron James territory.
Yeah, we basically said he was the LeBron James of NFL at this point.
Yeah.
Because right now, the argument with LeBron James is he's not the GOAT.
Jordan.
Because he hasn't passed Jordan.
Right. Jordan.
But is Brady Jordan, though? Like, there's a lot of...
Yeah.
So if we're going to say Brady's Jordan...
Rings.
Okay. No, I'm not...
Points.
No. Brady's Bill Russell.
Brady's Jordan.
Okay.
When it comes down to it, like Bill if Russell you want to talk Mahomes and Brady, it's LeBron and Jordan.
Brady is Bird.
It's still a solid argument, right?
Yeah.
But
here's fact. Bird is the word.
B-b-b-b-b-b.
Dad jokes.
B-b-b-b-b.
That was a really good one, though. I actually love that song.
Bird is the word. Anyways. No, so like it doesn't matter who you have on your Rushmore. Like, Patrick Mahomes is coming for them.
Oh, yeah.
And we're seeing a different level of game from a guy. Like, he does things that we see a guy do one of them.
Like, in his career.
You were talking about Favre. I have Favre, you know, like top 7-ish quarterback of all time.
Top 10.
So, you know, Favre, he did this underhand pass all the time, this sidearm underhand.
And Mahomes can do it in a bullet fashion.
But he can do it looking away.
And looking away.
That's the thing. Like, the stuff that some of the greatest of all time ever did, Mahomes makes it look just effortless.
And he's young.
There we go.
And he's played three seasons?
He's already got the ring. And listen, I'm a Raiders fan, and that's my division. But I'm not going to sit here and despise Patrick Mahomes if he ends up with 8 rings.
How could you? And he's also a very likable kid.
And you know what? And he sounds like Kermit the Goddamn Frog. But
I haven't heard that as much as, like, it's a little exaggerated.
He sounds a little...
I think it's exaggerated.
It sounds a little like this.
It's a little exaggerated.
No, but what's not to like about the kid? He's an awesome guy. And you know what? He already won a ring, super young. Like, it, can we be real? If Ben Roethlisberger had 5 with the stats he's put up, with projecting him out for an extra 5 years, we'd be making the argument that Ben Roethlisberger's right there with Brady.
Well, yeah. Roethlisberger is, I mean, currently he's one of the best pure pocket passers we've seen, but he doesn't have the hardware to put him in the conversation.
There we go.
It's that simple.
Exactly.
I mean, Dan Marino with the hardware.
That's actually where I was going with this.
But Dan Marino don't have any hardware.
You got Marino. You got Jim Kelly.
Jim Kelly was good.
I mean, they made it to the dance. They just didn't win it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, these guys...
Makes them fall a little short, no matter how talented they were. At least Patty Mahomes will never fall into that bracket.
There we go.
He'll never be Marino.
Yes.
He's destined to be greater than anyone. Brady's the only guy ahead of him, in my opinion. Joe Montana.
I don't think Montana... Like, I put Montana in my top 10 out of a courtesy because I think Steve Young's a better quarterback than he was.
I was getting ready to say something similar. Like, Joe Montana was fantastic. He was clutch, but
he was the perfect quarterback for that system at that time.
Yeah, well, I mean, he played really well in the Chiefs, too. Like, he's a great quarterback. He's one of the all-time greats, but it is a courtesy.
Who was coaching the Chiefs whenever he went to the Chiefs?
I know. But as talented as Montana was, nothing popped off the page about him except for his three Hall of Fame receivers? His will. He had the will. That's
three Hall of Fame receivers. Is that
Joe Montana had heart. Like, you know what I mean?
I get it.
Like,
in four Super Bowl rings.
But as far as, like, if we're talking pure talent, Montana wasn't.
Other than Notre Dame and or Niners fans like Chris Asbo, which is both, who have you ever heard say Joe Montana is the greatest quarterback of all time?
Just a handful of sportscasters. Stephen A. Smith before Tom Brady became, I don't know.
Like,
you know,
literally, but not nowhere near the majority.
Right.
Like, Peyton Manning with two rings. That's true. Manning with two rings passed Montana. John Elway with two rings. For a lot of people, past Montana.
John Elway was one of the best passers of all time.
And mobile.
Yeah.
So John Elway was truly one of the first, like, the first GOAT-type dual-threat quarterbacks.
Yeah. John Elway just gets a little bit forgotten about. Just because, I mean, you know, we've had so many years of the NFL that there's a lot of guys that just, they're just dropping down that list.
When Elway retired, he was what? Second all-time in damn near every statistical passing category?
So. Yeah, he doesn't really get talked about as much as Brady, Montana.
He should.
But he
really
don't.
Should.
But he don't. Dan Marino's fallen into obscurity a little bit, too.
Yeah, which is disappointing because
Marino was
seasons above second place when he retired.
Oh, yeah.
I think that kind of stuff happens a lot no matter what you're doing it with, though. Like, meantime, it could be sports, it could be music, you could be talking about actresses and actors. Yeah. Like, after somebody quits that job and you start getting all these new faces in, doing better things every time, they do slowly fall down that list.
Well, and you got to think about the generation. So my father-in-law watched Jim Brown play. Swears to this day, he's never seen anyone run the ball better.
I don't disagree, but I never saw him play.
We never saw him play. That's what happens when you get past some generations. Like, we didn't see this generation now that watches football. Like, they didn't see Marino. They didn't watch Elway. They didn't, you know, I'm talking 30 and under. They didn't see these guys. So the public opinion of those are going to slowly fade, just like Wilt Chamberlain. Wilt Chamberlain was
a 50-point season.
Animal. But no, you know, not that many people alive watched Wilt Chamberlain play. So he's just going to kind of continue to go down the pecking order a little bit.
Fade and fade and fade.
Fade.
I mean, one thing he did great, have sex with random women. Wilt Chamberlain claimed to have slept with over 10,000 women during his NBA career.
I mean, back in those days,
he probably did.
There was a rapper who, I want to say it was back in March, he said that he had already slept with 2,000 women this year, and by the end of the year, he hopes to have slept with about 10,000.
Yeah.
I feel like at that point...
I'm just going to go ahead and call bullshit on his claim.
Yeah, I was going to say, at that point, does it even work anymore?
Especially if his name's 6ix9ine.
You're shooting blanks, yeah.
Yeah, like, yeah. Does it even work anymore? Definitely not happening with 6ix9ine.
No.
Yeah, and... different story for a different day. Different podcast for
different,
a different day.
Different podcast. Anyhow, so we're going to talk about these top 10.
So top 10. So I'll go down. I'll start with my 10. All right. My 10's already debatable as
now
top
this
10
is
guy.
This is 2020.
Yes.
This is fantasy.
Fantasy 2020. We're not talking about NFL 2020. We're not talking about playoff potential. We're talking about merely fantasy production. We're looking at full point PPR, which doesn't matter for quarterbacks. We do what? Quarter point of reception, but it really doesn't matter whenever we're talking.
Yeah, we can talk. I mean, it's in general. I mean, when you look at the finishes year to year, you can switch league formats and they're close. There's a couple that just, you know.
I will also go as far as letting you know that our quarterbacks have the same rushing touchdowns as, or excuse me, rushing points as our running backs. And our quarterbacks do, in my particular league format, have 6 points per touchdown. Okay? It should equal out really damn close, if even if you do the four-point method. My number 10 is Kirk Cousins.
Okay.
He's not not rebuilding with his receiving core. I feel like he's reloading. Diggs, what, 1,000-yard receiving seasons? I'm not going to sit here and tell you that Jefferson's going to be an 1,100, 1,200-yard receiver, because I don't believe he is season one. But I do think Irv Smith takes enough of a step forward, to and Justin Jefferson does have enough of an impact. I think Adam Thielen is a top five season-long guy, maybe even pushing Michael Thomas for number one. I think the combination, I think Dalvin figures it out, right? I think they end up with a contract agreement, and it gives Kirk Cousins enough to be a top 10 fantasy quarterback this year.
Okay. I'm going to go Josh Allen, actually. Josh Allen in our league formats finished 12th. I think he takes just enough of a step up, and he's got Stephon Diggs. I like him as a top 10 quarterback this year. And honestly, looking around the league, you know, Drew Brees was in consideration there for me, but I'm going to peg him at 11. I just think that Josh Allen, with his running ability, with Stephon Diggs, with that Buffalo Bills team in that division against a weaker Patriots, I like Josh Allen to finish in the top 10 in fantasy points this year. I think this is that year for Josh Allen where he puts it together and people are like, okay, let's stop doubting him.
I'm going to stop you right there.
No, you're not.
And not tell you that you're wrong about Josh Allen being in the top 10. I'm going to tell you you're too low on Josh Allen in the top 10.
It's possible, but it's so mix and match the back half of the top 10. Yeah,
I mean, from what, 6 to 12, I could probably 6, maybe even 14, I could see any of them being interchangeable.
Now, since you're not the biggest football watcher, if you want to throw in your top 10 and use completely fake names, that would be fun.
Okay.
Who's your number 10?
John Smith.
Okay.
John Smith, great call.
Yeah, I mean, with his 7 awareness, like, dude is definitely going places.
He does have that 7 awareness.
And he probably has 99 speed or something like that. So.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So my number 9.
Number 9.
My number 9 is Breeze. Breeze, obviously, we got MT. Obviously, got Kamara, right?
Right.
Just the addition of Emmanuel Sanders. Breeze actually might go from 9 to 3. You know what I mean? He has the potential to be that ultimate steal because he's old. Well, I mean, there's no secret about his age.
He's aged.
But, and he fell off last year. We can all agree on that.
Well, yeah, he should. He's 40-something.
Exactly.
I mean, it makes exactly. Perfect sense.
But there's a tremendous amount of talent on that team. At least two of his players don't have to be deep. Actually, 3 of his players don't have to be deep, and 3 of his best can just, like, get the ball anywhere and break it. I mean, I know Michael Thomas is more of a go up and get it kind of guy, but
right.
Like, he can score from anywhere on the field. Emmanuel Sanders can do the same. Alvin Kamara, like Latavius Murray, he has the best, probably best overall package, you know, offensive skill talent around him. I love Breeze. He could be 1, 2, or 3. I get it. I don't think he's going to unseat number 1, but I could easily see him be a 2 or 3. But I'm comfortable with him at 9, even with his age regression.
Well, 9. I'm going to throw an unpopular one in there. Is it
Derek Carr?
No, it's not that. It's not that bad. But you know,
is Dwayne Haskins.
People start writing folks off. Baker Mayfield's not going to be wrote off.
Almost had him at 10.
Baker Mayfield
actually.
At 9. I mean, there's a such thing as third year breakout for quarterbacks too. So Baker Mayfield. I have no doubts about his passion, his ability. He throws a pretty ball. I think Baker Mayfield is going to be fine. He comes in at number 9 for me.
You know, it's great.
So
we actually
Josh Allen, Baker Mayfield.
We talked about Mayfield for a minute, didn't we?
We did, yeah.
So Mayfield has, and we were actually talking about his leadership ability, good and bad, right? When Baker Mayfield's motivated, He is one of the best motivators in the league. Yep. A la Drew Brees.
A la.
We talked about him a lot, Mayfield's rookie year. So on the downside, Mayfield is also a motivator in the negative sense.
Like, yeah, he can be.
If he's not motivated, neither are you.
Right.
Like he has such a sway on his team. And I think that his down season is going to be such a boon for both Baker Mayfield, Odell Beckham Jr., Jarvis Landry, you know, I mean, Austin Hooper, David Njoku, Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt. I agree with you. I don't have him there because I have some guys I'm more confident in, but I think Mayfield could have a phenomenal season.
I think he could too. I think it's highly possible.
I love Mayfield this year.
I do too.
I think it's likely. I think this is one of the first times in a long time he's kind of been humbled.
Right.
So,
who you got at number 9?
Terrence Sweetwater.
Some sticker on the fridge.
He's slightly better than John Smith. I think he could really go places if you put him on your team. So,
is there a particular reason why?
Oh, you know, he's good at the game. Oh,
all right.
He's good at the game.
All right. You know? So, number 8, I hate this guy, but God darn it, I love his talent around him, Dak Prescott.
Number 8's Dak for me as well.
What more could you give a quarterback?
Not much. Gronk. A tight end.
Okay.
An elite tight end.
I mean, that's it. I mean, seriously, at this point, it's it. You've got arguably the best rookie wide receiver. Arguably the best, year 3 wide receiver?
Yeah.
And then a really high-end, although inconsistent, wide receiver in Cooper. So you got CeeDee Lamb, Michael Gallup, Amari Cooper. You know, Blake Jarwin's not a joke. He's good. He's not great, but he's good. And then you add Zeke, which is probably the best between the hashes running back in the league.
Okay.
I'm probably being an asshole putting Dak at 8.
I probably am.
He's probably like 4.
Probably. He should be, but you know, this is us giving in a little bit. We've never been big Dak fans. So we're given, this is where we start to give credit where it's due, but we're not going all the way yet.
We're on second base.
We're cupping Dak from underneath, but we're not going all the way.
I'm not doing this. I'm doing this.
Yeah. We're just a squeeze on Dak. We're not going all the way. I still think just give him a squeeze.
The touchdowns. I think Zeke gets a crazy amount of touchdowns this year.
Probably will.
You know, that guy gets tackled at the 3. Zeke scores. Like, Zeke's going to have an embarrassing amount of 60-yard 4 touchdown games.
Hopefully.
You know, crazy shit like that.
Who's your 8?
Thomas Brady, not to be confused with Tom Brady. Totally different guy.
Thomas Brady. Refuses to go by the name Tom.
Yeah, because who would want to be that guy?
Chastised like that.
Right, yeah, right, he wants to build his fame on his own path. He doesn't want to be, you know,
okay,
the Tom Brady wannabe. He's Thomas Brady, man. He's his own guy, you know?
Okay.
I like it. 7. Who you got for 7?
7. It's Matt Ryan.
God, we're just on the same page.
Just so we're clear.
Matt Ryan.
Anybody who's listening, watching, we've not talked about these at all. As a matter of fact, we made them up like 10 minutes before the show.
Well, not as much as PJ did.
Yeah, PJ's making up names.
You know, Mr. Sweetwater.
Terrence Sweetwater, I mean, to you, sir.
Tell me what went down in Matt Ryan's world. Tell me the negative.
The negative. I mean, Austin Hooper's gone.
Okay.
But Hayden Hurst might be a formidable replacement. We were never big Austin Hooper guys.
I led the anyone but Hooper campaign.
I fully expect Hayden Hurst, if healthy, to come close to Austin Hooper numbers in Atlanta.
It should be similar.
Yeah.
Okay. And I don't necessarily expect the overall yardage. But I also don't expect the ridiculous stuff. Like, Hooper had a stupid stretch just to make me look like a dick.
What's the positive? There's a lot.
Todd Gurley.
Now, granted, you know.
You got some health. You got some health back on defense.
Gurley's
a
good receiving back. It's a big upgrade from Devonta Freeman. Devonta Freeman's
still a damn free agent.
Yeah. Todd Gurley may not be a top 5 fantasy running back, but he has the potential to be. And he's way better than Devonta Freeman. Calvin Ridley, year 3.
We're talking about
Russell Gage.
And just so we're clear, we've got
solid.
Him. We have Ryan at 7. His last year finish was 9. 9 with the shell of Devonta Freeman.
I've got him at 7 in this league, but
I have him at points per game.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
So, I mean, Matt Ryan has been an astronomical amount of weeks of his career a top 5 quarterback. And as you love Calvin Ridley, I probably like him more.
Yeah.
Well, Julio Jones has done nothing but, 1,450-yard seasons?
Yeah, he's just...
It's just what he does?
He's just that good.
I mean, has he ever played with a running back as good as Todd Gurley?
Probably not.
I mean...
Devontae Freeman in his prime was pretty darn good for a season, but I mean...
Above average.
Todd Gurley's still a much better all-around football player.
Athletic Todd Gurley's better than Devonta Freeman.
Currently, yeah.
Okay. And I agree with you 100%. I don't think Hayden Hurst is... We have to remember, guys, Hayden Hurst is a first-round draft pick.
Austin Hooper is not, that entirely impressive.
He got the damn targets.
He benefited from Julio and Ridley, and Matt Ryan's a good quarterback. And,
yes.
And I'm not trying to hate on Hooper. It's very possible that he's a very good tight end, but it's very possible Hayden Hurst is, too. You know, the Baltimore thing just didn't work out. Hayden Hurst, injury-prone. And honestly, Mark Andrews
is
just better. Mark Andrews on Atlanta give him to me now.
I caught 10 sorts of hell over Mark Andrews, and I called it from the day they got drafted. I'm like, Mark Andrews is better than him. So Mark Andrews probably best tight end in this whole draft.
I think we all kind of lean that way, too. Yeah. You were leading the charge on it.
I'm pounding the table over, and you're like, well, Hayden Hurst, and I'm like, I don't think Hurst is horrible. I think Andrews is going to be a stud.
Well, we were all scratching our head at them using
Hurst
a first-round pick on him.
26, 27 years old.
And that don't even matter. He just wasn't – it just didn't – I don't think any other team was drafting him in the first round.
Oh, no. Absolutely not. You're absolutely kind of right.
Just
there.
A mess.
But, I mean, Hurst, I don't think, in my opinion, is – if he's a downgrade from Hooper, he's still 90% of Hooper.
I agree.
At least.
He can be.
Yes.
He can
be. But Austin Hooper sometimes is only 50% of Austin Hooper.
Yeah.
Can we agree on that?
Happens a lot, yeah.
I mean, if we eliminate the first half of last year, Austin Hooper is the best and worst tight end in the league.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, he had more seasons outside the top 20 than he had inside the top 10. And it was freaking horrible. That's the reason I pounded my table all last offseason. I'll take any tight end other than Austin Hooper.
Mm-hmm.
And I got exposed for 8 weeks. Then he got hurt, and he was Austin Hooper again.
Right. So who you got, Peach, number 7?
I have Oliver Klozov.
Oh, I was hoping you were going to say Twist.
It's Oliver Klozov.
He sounds fun.
What more do I need to say? It's still on the name.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Oliver Klozov.
I'm going to take a small break and smoke a cigarette if that's okay.
Hey, buddy.
Yeah, you.
I took a small break and got my kid to sleep. You do whatever you need to do.
Yes. Yeah, so maybe when I come back, just let me know what round you're
absolutely
on, and I'll try and have a name ready
absolutely
or some shit.
Oh,
just make shit up. It's okay.
Absolutely.
As though you're not doing the same thing right now.
Right. Arms.
You're good. Never in.
So,
who we got at 6, Arms?
It's Josh Allen for me.
Yeah, here we go. This here we is go. Where, he's getting some love
whenever
now.
You were saying you had him, 9, 10?
Something like that, yeah.
I think you had him at 10. Man, Josh Allen for me, here's the thing. All right, John Brown is a number 2 receiver in the NFL. If you don't agree, you just don't watch football. All right, that deep threat guy, he's a really valuable asset to your team. Okay, he really is. John Brown's a little more than that deep threat guy, but Stephon Diggs is a complete receiver. He's not great. He's really good, and he's very highly above average. But I think the combination of two, it props up his yardage and his touchdowns in the passing game. And I still think Allen still does what he does on the ground. I think Josh Allen's going to, still be a very productive weapon, as far as with his legs. I mean, I don't have his yardage as far as rushing in front of me. I know he's, 5'10", 9 touchdowns on the ground, probably a little steep, but I think he makes up the difference in the air. So, okay. And I think it makes up the difference in passing in the air as well. So,
okay. I'm gonna go with Aaron Rodgers, and it is a little bit reluctantly with Aaron Rodgers. I mean he's still one of the better quarterbacks playing the game, and I do still expect a breakout at wide receiver opposite Devontae Adams. I do expect it to be Marquez Valdes-Scantling. I am in the minority on that. I know this. But Allen Lazard could also prove to be pretty solid. Devin Funchess, you never know. I like Rodgers still. I'm not overly thrilled to grab him in dynasty leagues, but I don't think six is asking too much for him to be six overall quarterback. There's a lot of guys aging. Brady's aging. Breeze is aging. I know Aaron Rodgers is aging too, but he's still got a few years of top 10 production. Oh, am I liking him at six?
I mean, I can't argue with it because I have him at five. You know, I have him at five. I mean,
it was your turn anyways, so that works out.
Yeah, I mean, what am I going to bitch about Aaron Rodgers when I have him a spot higher? I want to know who you have in your top five that I don't.
This is pretty exciting. But,
so, for me, I understand they didn't really address anything but running back.
Right.
All right. I do believe in MVS. He's shown flashes. I'm a big James Washington guy. I'm probably wrong with James Washington, but MVS and James Washington kind of in that same mold. Like, I just feel like give them the opportunity. They're going to show. They're going to do what they need to do. You add a running back, and like a lot of people don't love Dylan. I do.
I like Dylan.
I mean, did we see a lot out of the backfield? You know, as far as catching the ball with him last year, no. But James White had his career high was six receptions at Wisconsin.
Things change when you go to the next level.
Give him a chance, prove it. You know,
right.
You got some good running backs all of a sudden with the ball in their hand, they flatten a safety and it's a touchdown.
Yep.
Like, it doesn't have to be a rush in for a running back to score. I don't think that Aaron Jones scores with the ridiculous amount of efficiency that he did last year. I mean, he had, a two-touchdown, a three-touchdown game.
Yeah.
I mean, Jones was the kind of guy who literally just won you weeks on both DFS and regular fantasy, but won you weeks with, total dog shit. Like, you know, just random, but... You know, three touchdowns. Well, I guess I'm lying to you. He had 107 and four, but he had 19 and two. You know, 19 yards, two touchdowns, 107 and four. You don't want to hate the 107 and four. 93 and three, 51 and two, 154 and two. I just feel like some of the air yardage for some of these games will go to an A.J. Dillon. Or, you know, when I say air yardage, it might be a shovel pass. We're not talking about anything special. A 3-yard, you know, Aaron Rodgers is in the shotgun.
You're ready for my five rambler?
Flips it forward. But I just think the combination of these two guys, it helps Rodgers. The
longest damn explanation I've ever heard about Aaron Rodgers.
I still can't get over his damn 49-point game.
And it's 40 time. Anyways, number five for me is Deshaun Watson. I don't love Deshaun Watson, but he's proven... He has proven that he's a top five quarterback.
You have fucking Tom Brady in your top five, don't you?
Let's keep going. Deshaun Watson is my five, and I know by looking at your list, I know what's going on.
I have him at four.
Four is Deshaun Watson. Who did you have at five, PJ?
Oh, I had Aaron Legs.
Okay.
Okay. I like where your head's at.
E-R-I-N-L-A-I-G-S.
Yeah.
Okay. Aaron Legs. Yep.
So, tell me a little bit about Rodgers. Give me your justification.
About Rodgers? Rodgers,
excuse me, Watson. I was looking the wrong spot.
Well, Deshaun Watson is literally just a young, top-flight quarterback. This guy produces with basically just DeAndre Hopkins. Now, I'm starting to come around to the idea that Brandon Cooks, possibly a healthy Will Fuller, and possibly a healthy Kiki Kuti, could possibly make it more dangerous. You give this guy more weapons that no one can pinpoint.
We can easily make the argument David Johnson.
David Johnson's a big part of this too.
He could be trash, right? He could be dog shit.
He could be.
He could also be 15 touchdown David Johnson.
Well, he can also be 70 reception David Johnson. Carlos Hyde is not David Johnson.
Absolutely not.
Now, running wise, they're on about the same level.
I'll take Hyde by a hair, but receiving wise, it's not close.
It's not close. And I just think a more evened out cast in Houston could be just what the doctor ordered to keep Deshaun Watson putting up top five seasons.
Okay. I mean, he finished last season in the top five as far as points per game. One thing I will say in support of your argument and my argument as well for at four, I think his yardage rushing goes up. He had 413 yards rushing last year, seven touchdowns on the ground. You know, I'm not sure he's going to get more than seven touchdowns, but I think he can get. What are you laughing about?
No, keep going.
What, am I in the wrong season?
No. You're eager for my number four, and I'm eager to give it to you.
No, I was just saying, I think he could, you know, eclipse 600 yards on the ground. You know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think adding that, it could be the difference to bump him up to four.
Absolutely could. 100%. You want my four?
Sure. Is it Lamar Jackson?
Number four. Today, Junior. Kyler fucking Murray! Suck on that arms, you son of a bitch. Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray. Say it with me. I love Kyler Murray. I love Kyler Murray. Arms hates when I give Kyler Murray love. And listen, you add DeAndre Hopkins. You got another year. I know they didn't do anything. You got another year of Hakeem Butler and Isabella. You got another year of Christian Kirk. This is a young...
You can't make another year of Hakeem Butler. I don't think he played a game last year. Anyway.
I know, but you possibly get him back. You get a more seasoned Isabella. You get Christian Kirk with another year under his belt. You get Keyshawn Johnson, Larry Fitzgerald.
Every year you add with Larry Fitzgerald, you got Kenyon Drake. It's a downturn, so we're clear. That is a negative.
Drake. Listen, this team is going to ball out fantasy stat-wise. Kyler Murray has potential to be number one overall. Oh my God. Kyler Murray has the potential to be the number one fantasy quarterback in 2020. Will it happen? Probably not, but I guarantee a top four finish for Kyler Murray. I guarantee it. Take it to the Bark Bank. I love Kyler Murray.
So,
look, PJ agrees.
C. Kelly Chip.
No.
Okay. Chip Kelly.
Arizona's already done more than Chip Kelly ever did in Philadelphia.
Well, that you're wrong. Okay.
I'm not.
Because a, 2,500 yard quarterback is not really that impressive. Anyways, Chip Kelly.
Who threw for 2,500 yards?
What did Murray throw for?
Not 2,500
yards. It wasn't great by any stretch. Anyways. These high-flying,
37-22 is solid as a rookie.
These super amazing college production numbers typically don't translate to the NFL. Even the great Nick Saban, who we can easily say is in the top three greatest coaches of all time in NCAA history. Am I wrong?
Yes.
No.
I'm not even listening to you at this point. You know, I'm doing some numbers.
It doesn't matter what you do in college. They can figure it out in the NFL. That's why it's the professionals.
So Patty Mahomes is going to be figured out this year.
Patty Mahomes isn't the issue. All right. Andy Reid is a professional NFL coach.
He makes
the adjustments. Kyler Murray to me is not the problem right now.
Listen to what the Cardinals are saying about Kingsbury.
Kingsbury's the problem for me.
Whatever. Listen to what the players are saying about Cliff Kingsbury in the offseason.
What did the players say about fucking Freddie Kitchens last year?
There wasn't that many of them saying it. Listen, Kyler Murray, as a freaking rookie, man, 24 total touchdowns.
Wow, it's really good for a running back.
And 4,266 total yards. As a rookie, come on, man. You just hate on Kyler Murray's size.
I do.
Some of the freaking throws he made last year as a rookie. And you add DeAndre Hopkins and you give another year to all these other young receivers and you bring Larry Fitzgerald back. It's ludicrous to think he's not going to be top five.
It's a detriment to Larry Fitzgerald to come back. Larry Fitzgerald, from age talent standpoint, which should be the number five on this team. Can we agree on that?
The point I'm trying to make with Larry Fitzgerald is all these young receivers have him tutoring them in the wide receiver game.
Hopefully it works.
It will work. It 1,000%
will work. He has his moments to where he does.
It will work.
His camp does well for people, and other people are like, shit, he spent the whole summer there at Fitzgerald and he did nothing. So.
No doubt about it.
Here's what I'm going to say. I would have him on my top 12.
Okay, that's fair. At least you give him that.
And all jokes aside, I really, really...
He was top 10 as a rookie.
I really debated him in my top 8.
Top 10 as a rookie.
But I like the addition of Manny Sanders for Breeze, and I really do think that Kirk Cousins gets back to old form.
See, that's the one I disagree with the most on yours, just... losing Diggs, Jefferson's going to have to be really damn good for Cousins to get back into the conversation.
I understand. But no, serious start tag. I had strong consideration for Murray in my top 8 even.
I think we can blow through the final three, am I right? I mean, there's really not much explanation needed.
All right, you go first this time.
3 is Russell Wilson.
I got Lamar Jackson.
I got Lamar at 2.
We're talking for me, sustainability with rushing, that's what pushes him down to 3. I don't think he can do that again, but he's still going to do enough to be 3.
I just see he missed a game, and still paced everybody by 60 points in fantasy. Missed a game.
Oh, you're saying with Wilson?
Lamar Jackson.
I got you. I understand.
Yeah.
Now, it's a coin flip.
I was just saying, that was my argument to your sustainability thing. Like, if he seeds 50 points, he still was number one quarterback last year.
I'm not worried about missing games. I'm worried about attempts per game and yards per game at rushing.
I get that.
I think he's similar passing.
I'm just saying, he could lose 50 a game and still be top 2.
And I do think his passing improves, but I think they're going to try to scale him back a little bit.
They should in
the rushing game.
They should.
Absolutely.
Players don't want to hear that, but they should.
Yes. Next.
PJ, you got anybody at the 2 spot?
Tim McGraw before he was a country singer.
Okay.
All right.
I like that. I like that a lot.
Solid.
You know what? He was really good. Over and over again, I keep on over and over again.
It was a close tie with 6'9" before he went to prison.
I can't take it. I can't shake it. No.
I don't mind that. I don't mind that.
It's all in PJ's head.
Anyways, true.
So my 2's Wilson.
Yeah. Interchangeable.
fairly interchangeable. Here's the argument is Lamar Jackson did it once. Russell Wilson's done it, 6 times?
Yeah.
There's me for Wilson over Jackson. It is what it is.
Can I go with my number 1?
I've never heard of this guy.
Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Aaron Rodgers.
What? Fitzmagic, baby.
Shut up. Get out of here.
No, it's Mahomes. It's just, you know, you can watch Mahomes finish outside the top 5. You know, it doesn't matter. Mahomes is Mahomes. To count him out is just silly.
You're an idiot.
It's just silly.
I mean, it is what it is. If there is one first round quarterback for the next 5 years,
it's Mahomes.
Now, I will also preface this: you're an idiot if you are taking a quarterback in the first round.
Quit insulting our listeners.
Do not take a quarterback in the first round.
There is 16 teamers you can take Patty Mahomes
also,
in the last 3 to 4
also,
picks.
Also, I don't play Superflex, so I'm sorry for saying that out loud. I'm not a super flex guy. In a standard format, I'm not taking a quarterback in the first round unless I'm in the top 3 picks. The last 3 picks.
You play Superflex?
Dude, I'm super flexing right now. What are you talking about?
Okay. Yeah, cool.
Absolutely.
Cool.
So, Mahomes, just Jesus Christ. He just watch his tape, look at his body work. I mean, look at his system.
There's
look at
no
his
argument
coach.
Needed.
I mean,
if you have to argue,
argue against him. Oh, wait.
There's no argument against him.
Well, Lamar Jackson runs a lot. Okay. I'll still take Patrick Mahomes' 5,000 yards.
Patty's got the devil's curly hair.
So does Patrick. So does Lamar Jackson.
Wow. I don't know.
I mean, he's like both these guys, phenomenal human beings. All 3 of them. Like, they're great dudes. Like, you can't even not pick them in the top 3 for any moral justification. You're like, I don't pick Tyreek Hill because he's not a good dude. Joe Mixon, because he, you know, punched a chick in the face on video. You can't even make that argument about these three guys. They're just great,
to be fair,
great dudes.
She said Patty Mahomes sucks.
Fuck that bitch.
I'd punch her in the face, too.
I would, too.
Now no that, respect. Like, that, have some decency, dude.
Well, first off, don't lie to people.
She said Tim, she said Tim McGraw never, never played a good game.
Yeah, but I mean, like, what'd she feel about Thomas Brady?
Or Mr. Sweetwater. Terrence.
Terrence Sweetwater.
Criminy.
Oh, shit.
Well, that was fun. That was a jacked up episode.
LeBron James was my number one. Thanks for asking.
Hey, serious question. We're going to stop right here. Don't actually stop. What are you doing?
I didn't. I touched my computer, not the mouse.
Today. Random thought. If Andrew Luck was on the Colts.
Well, he's top 10.
Where'd you put him?
Probably back half top 10. 7, 8.
I probably put him at 5.
I have no argument for that.
Right, no, I'm sorry. 6.
No,
I'll put him right behind Rodgers. Let's say that he's released and he is the quarterback of the New England Patriots.
Won't happen, but
I know.
Same. I put him bottom half top 10, 9, 10.
Okay.
I just don't. I don't feel the weapons there.
Conducive system. I get it.
And I don't feel the weapons there.
All right. Just curious because I just had a random one of my leagues pulled up. Still have him as a free agent quarterback in one of them, and I'm like,
if you got the room.
Oh, I do.
I don't. I mean, he's not coming back, in my opinion. But
he's probably not.
Sometimes it happens. It does.
But pure trade bait. Anyhow, do we have any plugs or anything?
No.
Wow.
The only plug I got is listen again. Come back.
Well, there was a plug. We had an RV sale thing earlier.
That's true. But I don't know if that was recorded.
Move
or
on
not.
Down to Chris House RVs.
I think that was just on the live stream.
Hold on.
I think it was.
Nope. We can do this on the live stream. Thanks for listening, folks. This episode's long in the
tooth. Thanks, guys.
This concludes another episode of the Back Row Fantasy Show. Thanks for listening, and be sure to give us a review.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.